Coming up on show 697, a new survey shows that we'd all happily pay more to ride in EV taxis. So why aren't there more of them? Stick around, we'll tell you more. Plus on the show today, China's January EV sales, but there's a reason why they're down. Tesla becomes one of the top producers in China. The Audi e-tron 50 goes on sale in the UK, and a new Dacia. And if you've never heard of them, I'll tell you why soon. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, the edition for Friday, 14th of February. Almost 700 times I've said that intro. Three more to go. Wow, I can't believe how close we're getting. My name is Martin Lee, going through every EV story to save you time, basically so you don't have to. Thank you to MyEV.com for helping make the show. Well, MyEV is the world's first marketplace, all about buying and selling and learning about EVs along the way. If you're in the USA and maybe you're in the market to buy, sell, learn, or maybe you want to know more about things like insurance and warranties for EVs, check out MyEV.com. Well, China reported a double-digit decrease in EV sales for a sixth consecutive month in January and warned that the current coronavirus outbreak was weighing on automakers already under significant pressure, says Technode.com. Well, January sales of NEVs, the new energy vehicles, the name they give to electric cars, January sales of NEVs were, in terms of all electric and plug-in hybrid cars, down over 50% from a year earlier to 44,000 units. Now, look, still selling 44,000 EVs is still a big number, but still it's down a lot. The China Association of Automobile Manufacturers said yesterday. Well, the association attributed the sales decline to a different holiday period this year. It's a week-long spring festival holiday, and it began earlier than usual this year, and that's why the January numbers are down year on year. Not the only reason, but a large part of it. The number of working days in January was 5 days fewer than this time last year, and of course, then there was the outbreak of the coronavirus. Had a limited impact in January, I would say. The spring festival historically produces a sales lull. Everyone's off work. Though the CAAM did warn it would have a bigger near-term effect on the country's auto industry because of the coronavirus around that time as well, weighing on February's numbers, which we don't have yet. Also, it will probably have a bigger effect in the near term than SARS did at the initial outbreak, at least. Well, the outbreak also has brought the entire auto industry supply chain to a grinding halt, triggering widespread parts shortages, as local manufacturers have been forced to extend downtime during their holiday period and, of course, for the virus as well. That is something that not many people are talking about. People are talking about the virus, of course, and talking about, you know, what it'll mean for particular automakers. I've heard people talking a lot about, you know, what will it mean for Tesla's new gigafactory there. Remember, China makes everything. All right, I'll just use that word. They do. They make everything. And so the next time you buy something on Amazon and it turns up on your doorstep about 12 hours later, trace that product's journey back, and chances are, yeah, probably it was made in China. If all the factories are closed, just think about what that does, what it does to things like supply chains. Think about what it does to just-in-time models of building cars. Car makers, of which there are a lot of electric car makers in China, don't store weeks and weeks of parts in their factories. Just-in-time manufacturing is exactly that. As you need widget A, it arrives at the factory, and you pop it on the car, and just as you need widget B, it arrives at the factory. And if supply chains, and they really are, factories closing down and people going into quarantine and all sorts, it's a really, really big deal for the car industry. We'll come on to that in a moment. January was also a big month for Tesla's Gigafactory in Shanghai, or Giga Shanghai, as we're meant to call it these days. The Made in China Model 3 production hit its stride following trial manufacturing runs at the end of 2019. Reports indicate that Giga Shanghai built over 2,500 units of the Model 3 in January, despite Chinese New Year and coronavirus as well, says Tesla Rati. With a rate of 2,500 Model 3s made in China before the Lunar New Year holiday, which was January 25th, that does work out at about 1,000 units a week of Model 3 at Giga Shanghai. So looking at January then, the numbers were down. The top five automakers were, or NEV makers were, BYD in the number one spot, Number two was BAIC/BJEV. In third place, it was SAICVW. Fourth place was GAC. And in fifth, it was Tesla. Well, tomorrow on a Saturday special on the podcast, we'll hear from our man in China. It's a former guest, and he's back on the show to tell us more. He is Rupert Mitchell. Rupert is the Chief Strategy Officer for WM Motor. You can find out more at wm-motor.com. Well, they sell the EX5 and the EX6. They are both fully electric, long-range SUVs. We'll be talking to him about the Chinese market because it's something that we know is big. We just don't talk about it enough. Manufacturing cars in China because WM have their own manufacturing facilities. And unlike many others, they will talk about charging. We'll talk about payments. We'll talk about coronavirus. Talk about Tesla entering the market. And many other things as well. A really, really interesting Saturday special tomorrow, I think. I think you'll learn something as well. I think it'll certainly equip us with a bit of context for the whole EV thing. As well, in terms of the worldwide market. Rupert joins us tomorrow. So, the entry-level e-tron, the e-tron 50. Doesn't mean that it's got a 50 kilowatt-hour pack, by the way, because the big one, the big daddy, is the e-tron 55. But it's the e-tron 50. And it's now available for sale in the UK. Ordering has started, priced from £59,900. That's about $78,000 equivalent on the road. A WLTP range of 190 miles. There are some new specs. There's the Technic spec, Sport spec, and S-Line spec. And if you want to, you can get the launch edition of the e-tron 50. The battery, as I mentioned, it's not 50, it's 71. This is a 71 kilowatt hour capacity, and it's got a newly calibrated drivetrain incorporating two motors, electric motor on each axle, a combined output of 230 kilowatts. Audi have indeed made some improvements to the e-tron. Unfortunately, they're not over-the-air updates which can be applied. They have made some efficiency gains, they've made some power gains as well. But it means that it's like a hardware change. And so, unfortunately, if you want all the latest bells and whistles on the e-tron powertrain and the drivetrain, you've got to buy a new car. But the e-tron 50, coming in at under £60,000 on the road, will certainly be an attractive luxury SUV for many people. People who don't want more than 200 miles of range, for instance. It'll have its detractors, I know. Director of Audi UK is a chap called Andrew Doyle, who said this, and I quote, "Our research has shown that on a daily basis, prospective buyers cover significantly less than 190 miles in the e-tron 50 on a full charge. So for them, it's a more accessible but no less accomplished way of getting into the Audi range. It's also," he says, I quote, "it's also notable for introducing new specification options, including the ever-popular S-Line that will roll out across the e-tron range in the longer term," end quote. The launch edition, by the way, is the one that has the fancy pants preconditioning. It's a higher functioning version of the preconditioning that is on the standard e-trons, where it enables the driver to use the Audi app to activate the primary heating and vent system on the car, so that it reaches the temperature that was programmed when the vehicle was last driven. The advanced version on the launch spec, though, allows you to do what really you should be able to do anyway, which is adjust the desired temperature before you get in the car. So, for instance, many EVs, if you have preconditioning, it will precondition it to 21, 22, 23, or even in Audi's case, it'll be the last temperature from the last time you drove it. But the advanced preconditioning is what, well, Tesla owners would say is normal, is you can use the app to set the temperature exactly. Staying with Audi, and Cody Thacker is a former US Marine Corps lawyer, now heading Audi of America's EV initiative, and he's been laying out the case as to why EVs will win the hearts and minds of consumers and dealers. According to the website Ward's Auto, "There is a joy of driving," he says. "There is a joy of driving EVs because of their driving dynamics, quickness, and quietness. It's also a more serene experience. He says by 2025, in 5 years' time, a third of Audi's portfolio will be electric. Well, 2 years ago, the conversations with dealers were different, he says. There was more pushback from dealers. Now, dealers are seeing the value. We want to get them comfortable enough to take a leap of faith, something that we're all trying to figure out, he says. I'll pop a link to Ward's Auto in the show notes. I got a link from a listener, by the way, in the week, who went along to his local dealer to buy... What he wanted was a Kona EV. And he knew he wanted that car, that size of car, for his work. He travels with his work, and he wanted that car. And he went to his local Hyundai dealer, asked for the Kona EV, and they wanted to sell him anything but. Particularly a hybrid. And when he insisted... that he only wanted the Kona EV. He said the salesperson disappeared off to the office and said, hang on a second, I'll go and find out, was gone. What he described was a very long time and came back and said, I'm sorry, there's a 3 month wait. And that was it. There was not, and would you like to wait the 3 months to buy one? Was, nah, I'm sorry. So anyway, I've been fortunate enough to come across the good, the bad and the ugly in the EV world over the last few years of doing this podcast, and so I've been able to connect that listener with Will at DSG in Morecambe. Now, okay, that's where I bought my Renault Zoe from, and no, DSG don't pay me to say this. When you have a really great buying experience, like I love being sold to, I hate it when you get a slick salesman who you can tell doesn't have your interests at heart, but I love it when you get a really good, whether you're buying, I don't know, a sofa or a car or a house. When you find someone that wants to understand what you want and then makes buying something enjoyable, I don't mind a good salesman. I like being sold to. Have my money, you know, when it's a pleasure. And that's what I got from Will and the team at DSG in Morecambe. Now, as well as selling Renaults, I bought my Zoe there. They also are a Hyundai dealership. And so I've been able to connect those two because Will drives a Kona EV himself. I'm sure he won't be turning anybody away. Isn't it weird? It's weird, isn't it, how some dealers are on board and some aren't. You know what? It's a non-option. They're going to have to get on board. Okay, moving on. Now, I mentioned Renault, but what about Dacia? Okay, bear with me if you haven't heard of that brand. A Dacia EV has been announced for 2021, tucked away in a really lengthy document about Group Renault's financial results from last year. It's a little bit of a dry document, but tucked deep, deep, deep inside it is an interesting roadmap regarding their electrification plans. And it features the Renault Zoe, which has been on the market now in most parts of Europe with the 50 kilowatt hour battery, or the ZE50 spec at least, battery's a bit bigger, and a plug-in version of the Captur and the Megane. A Clio regular hybrid is coming, and according to motor1.com, a plug-in hybrid version of an existing model, which is unspecified, and another non-plug-in hybrid of current Renaults. Six of them are new additions to the range, including the first car to ride on a new platform that they have developed for pure zero-emissions cars. There's the Twingo ZE, ZE for zero emissions. The Twingo is down to be released in 2020 this year, but also Renault's cheaper, more budget brand is Dacia. Now, you've all heard about car companies having their up-market. Like, Toyota have Lexus, don't they, right? Volvo have their performance bit, Polestar, the spin-off. But go the other way, and Renault have their more affordable brand, and that's Dacia. And in deep in this financial document was the Dacia Urban City car. It's listed as pure battery electric, based on this new platform that I just mentioned, and it's going to be out sometime around next year. Late next year, maybe into 2022. This is probably, most likely, going to be a European version of what is currently being sold in China as the KZE under the Renault name. Now, Renault said not long ago that there would be a European KZE. The battery is super tiny, less than 30 kilowatt hours. The motor's super tiny. They might put a bigger battery in, maybe the one from the Renault Zoe. They may... It's a new platform. It hasn't got to be the Zoe battery. Maybe a bigger motor. But either way, if it is going to be a cheaper car, I think that would come under the Dacia brand rather than the Renault brand. I will wait and see. But, you know, I love the fact that on this podcast today, to end the week, we're talking about a more affordable EV. Because, my oh my, I'm sure you and I Plenty of times I've had people say, well, I'd love to drive an EV, but it's only for rich people, or at least only for people who can afford a 100 grand Tesla. And it'd be great, you know, because we're not far away now from cars being on the market. We're so close to price parity with ICE cars. Build in the fuel savings that you make with an EV, and we're past price parity. It's cheaper to have an EV, even though the initial cost is more. So talking about Dacias, I know that, oh, man, it's not the sexiest thing, you know, but it's really important, and it just makes me so pumped and you know, excited about when people say, oh, I'll buy an EV when they're less than 15 grand, and we can go, well, here's one. Okay, moving on. It looks like Tesla owners who have been resisting new software updates haven't got much of a choice to accept them anymore. Several Tesla owners with vehicles on old software versions have reported a new in-car message from Tesla. And I quote, in order to maintain compatibility with and access to connected vehicle features, this vehicle requires a software update to at least version 2019.40.2.3. If not updated before the 1st of May 2020, this vehicle will no longer be able to receive over-the-air updates, access the mobile app and the features associated, use voice commands, receive streaming media, and other connectivity-dependent features may be impacted. Well, let's face it, if you can't use the app, stream anything, do any more over-the-air software updates, I mean, those are some of the things that make Teslas work. Why would somebody not install a software update? Well, okay, let me pick an example from my life. Whenever they release a new iPhone update, or they release a new iPhone, like the new model, and then often that day or that week there'll be a whole new version of iOS, I always wait for like either what you call like a service pack or like a .1 version, because that first one, it's always really buggy. I've had iPhones for years, and I'm not that nerdy to get into it, but I know, oh, it's always really buggy, or something won't work. So I always like resist my iPhone updates for 2 or 3 weeks. Doesn't take long. 2 or 3 weeks, and then I always go for that, you know, maybe a bit longer, that .1 update, right? Plenty of Tesla owners have seen autopilot functions change, in some cases reduced power and reduced range as well. And those that are say, like nerdy enough to know what version updates do certain things, they might be saying, I don't want to do that. But Tesla is now forcing people. And again, maybe some of these updates Tesla are doing as precautionary safety measures to avoid anything biting them on the bum down the road. They're forcing people to do this. Not forcing you. Your car won't literally not work, but let's face it, you know, you'd lose so much functionality. I'm sure you'd want to do that. A new YouGov online poll is the next story today, finding that 52% of taxi and Uber drivers in 7 European countries will pay more per kilometre to ride in a comfortable and quiet and smooth and green EV. 60% of people under 24 said they would happily pay more to ride in an EV taxi. In Paris and Brussels, 60% of citizens, respectively, said that they would pay more for an EV ride, according to Charged EVs magazine. I'll put a link in the show notes if you want to read more from that big survey. But what more proof do we need that people love EVs and actually would happily put their money in their pocket and pay a little bit more per kilometre or per mile of Uber travelled if they got to do it in the back of an EV? Okay, some Elon tweets that we have to get round to from earlier this week that I've been a bit lax getting to. Elon Musk tweeted, Tesla April company talk will be from our Giga New York factory, where we make solar glass and other products. We'll offer customer and media tours. So when he says the Tesla April company talk, does he mean battery investor day, or is that going to be something else? Lots of people saying that it'll be on the 20th of April because, you know, in the US, they have, you know, they list the month first, so it'll be April, which is 4, and the day, which is 20. Like, we, when you write the date down on paper, we do it the other way around. But so that would be 420. 420. Yeah, in other words, the magical number 420. So some people saying, well, look, that could be a day that it's done. And other people saying, well, that's not going to be held in New York. So is battery investor day going to be a different day? Look, we'll keep an eye on this for you, but I'll let you know nearer the time what it means. From Teslarati, Tesla is producing its solar roof cells, the solar glass roof at Buffalo in New York. The company has a goal to manufacture 1,000 roofs a week, but they're a long way off of that at the minute. And focus customer installations patents on California before expanding to the rest of the USA and eventually to other overseas markets as well. Tesla's been hiring hundreds of employees for the Buffalo facility in a bid to ramp up production at New York Gigafactory, or Giga New York as I should call it, and increase focus on solar businesses. Okay, let's move on to a big investment in powertrains. NIDEC, I think is how I would say this company's name, N-I-D-E-C, NIDEC, is going to invest 200 billion yen, that's 1.8 billion US dollars, yes, with a B, 1.8 billion US dollars, in an EV powertrain push, resulting in a manufacturing capacity of what is millions and millions of electric motors for EVs every single year. Well, according to Inside EVs, the company already produces 3 billion, yeah, that's a lot, right? 3 billion electric motors for all kinds of applications, often like tiny, tiny machines. Traction motors, on the other hand, or a new branch of the company. Investment is going to be divided into three different bits, about 900 million on a Chinese plant next year, and then about 450 million on a plant in Poland, and about the same again on a plant in Mexico by 2023. Expected that by the end of the decade, demand for EV motors is going to be 30 million every single year. That's mad, right? Okay, so some cars are going to have two motors. Well, some will have three. Some will have four. But still, 30 million EV motors a year are going to be needed. And it's going to be 35% of their business, they say, up from at the minute, just 4%. So here's a company with one eye on the future. And they know, as like you and I know, EVs and all the things around it, the batteries, the motors, the inverters, the drivetrains, they are the future business to be in. Well, New York is looking at the future as well, and Mayor Bill de Blasio delivered his seventh State of the City address, unveiling his administration's vision for a carbon-free future, says NGT News. The New York mayor recently had two executive orders issued to address the need to combat climate change. One of them is a commitment to electrify New York City's fleet of public vehicles. And the second order is to prohibit any new development which includes fossil fuel infrastructure. Well, the New York mayor has issued an executive order to have all of their on-road vehicles to be either plug-in cars or pure electric cars by 2040. By 2025, 4,000 of the city's cars will be converted to pure electric. And by 2040, the entire city fleet will be fully electric. And the city, New York City, will stop any new investment infrastructure like power plants, pipelines, or terminals, anything to do with fossil fuels. Final story today, and after it was announced last year that the Indian Oil Corporation wants to produce battery cells for electric cars, along with a certain foreign company, unnamed, the state-owned IOC, Indian Oil Corporation, is now giving us some more details, writes Electrive today. According to the Indian Oil Company, both companies are holding talks with vehicle manufacturers for their new batteries, aluminium air batteries. Interesting. They're going to be used in three-wheelers, like three-wheeled vehicles, which may carry a couple of passengers or cargo. Things like small cars and even buses. Well, last year it was announced that the state-owned IOC in India intends to produce their battery cells for electric cars with this foreign company. Loads of amazing news today. Look, the podcast is more than 20 minutes and we haven't stopped for a breath today. Wow, a ton of awesome EV stories to send us into the weekend with a big old smile on our face and some hope as well, some optimism heading into the weekend. Yeah, like I mentioned, Saturday special tomorrow will be Rupert back on the podcast to fill us in on where China's EV market is going in 2020. Right, question of the week this week with myev.com. I'm thinking of doing a long old drive to Italy at some point over the next couple of months. 1,000 miles, 1,028 to be precise. What's the longest EV road trip you've done? And if you haven't got an EV yet, what's the longest you would do? Let me know. Email hello@evnewsdaily.com or leave a comment on the YouTube show. With a bunch of new patrons yesterday, thank you to 234 people now support this podcast. And if you are thinking of having a look, Patreon is patreon.com/evnewsdaily. You absolutely don't have to think about doing it. It is entirely optional. Lots of people do. Pop your name in the show notes if you want to be an exec producer or above. If you want to listen to any of the previous shows in the archive, the patrons do pay for that archive to stay online. Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, and Avid Technology as well. Check out evnewsdaily.com. Have a wonderful day. Catch you tomorrow for a Saturday special. In the meantime, remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.